Good evening. Well, what a delight it is to see people. It's an unusual experience. Well done for getting here, particularly at this time of night. I wonder if any of you remember experiencing a solar eclipse. I do. A solar eclipse, of course, occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun and totally or partly obscures the image of the sun for a viewer on Earth. And the last total solar eclipse in the UK was over Cornwall and parts of South Devon on the 11th of August 1999. That's not the one I experienced, because I was living in London, not in the southwest. But the one I did experience was the partial eclipse, which happened on the 20th of March 2015. The sun was more than 80% hidden throughout the UK. I was working in a school at the time, and the staff and the children went out onto the playing field to experience the eclipse. And I got to tell you, it was very eerie and strange, because it was so quiet. The birds thought it was nighttime, and so they'd stop singing. And it was also very cold. We were chilly, and it was very strange. And I read that it had an impact on the electricity given to the national grid through solar power. Because of the eclipse of the sun, that dipped substantially. We lost light, we lost warmth, and we lost power. We need to receive the light of the sun for life to be sustained on Earth. Without its light and warmth, everything would die. In the first of the two passages we're going to look at today, we read about another light that is essential for life. Our first reading, as you heard, is from John 1, 1 to 14. Let's go through it together. Do grab your Bible or your phone or app and follow along. John 1, starting at verse 1. In verses 1 to 3, we learn about Jesus' identity. Now, a term that may be confusing here is that Jesus is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, in Proverbs, the concept of wisdom is personified. Wisdom is given human characteristics, and that's what the writer John is doing here. By calling Jesus the Word, John is calling him the embodiment of all of God's revelation in the scriptures. Jesus is the Word. And what do we learn about the Word? Look at verse 1. We see that he was there in the beginning. So at the beginning of time, Jesus was already there. That means he wasn't created. He existed in eternity alongside God the Father. We also read that he was with God, which shows that he's distinct from God the Father and enjoys a relationship with him. It also says that he was God. Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. In verse 3, it says, through him all things were made. Jesus was involved in the creation of everything, including you and me. So he knows us. He understands us. Then moving on to verse 4, we read that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In him was life. In Jesus is life. He's the source not only of the earthly life that he created, but also the source of ongoing eternal life. Verse 5, describing Jesus, says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I don't know if you've ever attended a live sporting event at night, back in the days when such things were allowed. Well, the stadium floodlights shine in the night sky. The light shines into the darkness, visible for miles around. And as you walk closer and closer, there's a sense of excitement of what's going to happen when you reach the source of the light. And we should have that same excitement about the light of Jesus, because the second half of verse 5 says that the darkness has not overcome the light. The darkness has not overcome the light. Jesus' light cannot be extinguished. It never runs out. He is the eternal flame that keeps burning regardless. And so whatever difficult things you've been through in your life, or particularly this year, or whatever challenges you're facing right now, you can have hope if you know Jesus, because the darkness in this world cannot extinguish his light. But to have that hope, you first need to receive the light of Jesus. In verses 6 to 8, we read about John the Baptist. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." He was a witness. And I too stand before you and testify of the difference it made in my life when I received the light of Jesus. It's the joy of a relationship with God. It's peace despite horrible personal circumstances. It's the hope and certainty of a wonderful future with my God, my Creator, and my Savior. So how do we receive this light, if we haven't done so yet? Verses 9 to 13 tell us. The first point to note is that in verse 9 it says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." That gives light to everyone. Everyone. You see, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you think you're not good enough to have a relationship with God. The offer of receiving the light is for everyone. And then it explains how. In verse 12, it says, "To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What you need to do to receive the light is to believe in the name of Jesus. Believe that God came to earth at Christmas as a baby, lived a sinless life, and chose to pay the price of our sin on the cross so that we could be reconciled to God and have a relationship with him. We need to receive the light, not reject the light. Receive it. Don't reject it. I'll give you a chance to say a prayer quietly in your heart at the end if you don't know that you've taken that step to receive the light of Jesus. So I'll give you that opportunity at the end if you'd like to do so. Our first passage ends by saying, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God came to earth in Jesus. And once again, they're witnesses. They have seen, they saw it, and they testify to it. Now, it may well be that you've already received the light of Jesus, but there's another lesson about light too. There's something magical about Christmas lights and these beautiful lights and candle lights here, isn't there? They brighten the cold and dark of winter. And I expect you have some, either on a Christmas tree or on the outside of your house, twinkling in the darkness. Now imagine you decided to take a big black bin liner and you pulled it down over your Christmas tree. Or maybe you have a very big tree and that wouldn't be big enough, so instead you took the fabric of a tent without the poles and you covered the Christmas tree up. Or perhaps you use a big double duvet to hide the light. Why would you do that? Or if the lights are on the outside of your house, you could take a can of black spray paint, spray the bulbs, and black them out so that no light shows through. But that makes no sense, does it? It defeats the purpose, which is to bring sparkle and joy to our homes and for passers-by. We reveal the light. We don't conceal it. We reveal it, not conceal it. And that's what our second reading talks about. It's Matthew 5, 14 to 16, if you want to find it once again in your app or in your Bible. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. The first part of verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world." Gosh, it's talking about us. It's a bit of a surprise. If we've received the light of Jesus, we carry it with us. God's light is in us and is part of us. The passage continues, "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." In the same way, let your light shine before others. Sometimes we experience power cuts in our homes, not often, but when it does happen, I guess most of us resort to an old-fashioned solution to light our homes, candles. Of course, the mobile phone comes out in the first instance. It's a handy instant light, and then you use that to track down the candles and light them. And where do we put them? Not under the kitchen table. Not under the bed, not in the microwave. No, we put them where they can be seen, where they can give as much light as possible. We reveal the light by putting it on a countertop or on the mantelpiece or on a shelf. And in the same way, we're supposed to reveal the light of Jesus in us, not conceal it. Reveal it. Don't conceal it. Our second passage ends by saying that we should reveal the light so that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Note that it's not so that we look good, it's so that people glorify God the Father. They glorify God because they experience his love through us, and hopefully it not only blesses them, but hopefully it's also a step on the road to them coming to know Jesus as their Savior. So what are some of the ways that we can reveal the light to others through our lives? How might you do that? How might I? In the next few days and ongoing? Think, what might be some of the ways that you could reveal the light to others? So, in closing, I encourage you to receive the light of Jesus in your life, if you haven't yet, and to reveal that light to the world. Receive the light and reveal the light this Christmas and in the year ahead. I'm going to close, but I'm going to close with a prayer, as I said I would. And if you haven't received that light in a way that you know concretely in your heart, you can do so now by echoing this prayer quietly in your heart after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Take a few moments to ask forgiveness for anything particular that is on your conscience. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness and of your Son Jesus. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I'm just going to say one more prayer, which is, Lord, for those of us who have already received the light, would you prompt us? Would you nudge us? Would you show us how you want us to reveal your light to the world, to our families, to our friends, to our work colleagues, out and about, wherever we may be? Would you help us to reveal your light to the world? Amen.